long as I sat there, there wasn't going to be any peace. So this morning is not about me. This is God's story. Mm. And he wants everybody to hear it. I hope it touches somebody's life.
Amen.
Does anybody have any value? No, I'm not going to tell you that I ever had cancer, because it was never mine to have. And it wasn't going to stay. But the enemy tried to give me cancer. And in April of last year, I was diagnosed with stage 3C breast cancer. They could not believe that I was not stage 4, but I could. I had a 7.5-centimeter tumor on the left side of my chest. I'm gearing this for little kids. Along with 11 out of 16 lymph nodes were positive. Mm. So I lost all the lymph nodes on the left side, and I went ahead and had a bilateral mastectomy done. It was a very difficult time. A lot of terror and fear, primarily in learning to trust and to have that faith. And what God began to teach me through the whole thing was I wasn't strong, and I didn't have the strength I needed to go through everything. But if I would hold on to him, his strength was sufficient for me. I saw multiple doctors, multiple oncologists, because I didn't believe any of them. I'm very analytical, and I have to get multiple opinions. So they all kept saying the same thing. You have to have chemotherapy. If you don't have chemotherapy, you're not going to live. You have to have chemotherapy. But God was telling me, no chemotherapy. And one doctor up by Atlanta actually told me that if I didn't have chemotherapy, I'd be dead in 6 months. Mm. It was she called it a T4 tumor, extremely aggressive. Mm. But that inner voice was telling me, don't have chemotherapy. And I thought, well, I guess it's just my time, God. So I refused. And the doctors were very mad. Their faces would be livid. And they would have different doctors come in and try to convince me, thinking I might get along with one of them better. And it was just a personal thing against them. And I told them, you know what? God is not leading me to have this treatment. And they looked at me like I was from Waco, Texas. But that was okay, because I was the one that had to follow. I had a dream in December, which was 4 months prior to being diagnosed, so December 2011. And in this dream, I was being followed by a bunch of wolves. And I had come to this clearing, and off in the distance was a highway in the middle of nowhere. It kind of reminded me of Dawn, you know, the highway in the desert. And I knew that's where I needed to be. That's where I needed to go. But first, I had to deal with all these wolves that were around me. As I got out of my car to start walking towards across the field to the highway, one of the wolves grabbed my left arm, which is the side that I was diagnosed with cancer. And this voice behind me said, to defeat the enemy, you have to take out his vision. So in my dream, I took my thumb and shoved it in the wolf's eye, and he let go, and I woke up. And that's been pretty much the theme over the last year and a half. The enemy has tried to set that vision in my head over and over again, and it's been a daily battle. It feels like sometimes I take one step forward and two steps back. I'm strong with God, I've got the faith, and I'm knocked right back down in the dirt. But he's always been there, and he has never left my side. They got all the cancer out during surgery. They're still pushing chemotherapy and radiation. I was still refusing. They were still mad. In November, I'd gone through reconstruction, all of that process, so they could put me back together again. Around November of this last year, I was diagnosed with a recurrence. There was the enemy again saying, okay, you thought you got rid of me. Here I am again. And once again, you need chemotherapy. And once again, I told him no. They also want me to take a medication called tamoxifen, which blocks female hormones. And the type of cancer that I was diagnosed with is fed off of the female hormones, estrogen and progesterone. But God didn't want me to take those either. I prayed about those. I was like, dear God, it's just a pill. Kept saying no, no, no. At the doctor's insistence, though, with the recurrence, I thought, okay, I'm going to try it. He wanted me to take 20 milligrams I decided I would take 5. So I was taking a low dose, but on the 9th day of taking it, the 3 little dots that looked like pimples that had been the recurrence, my entire chest broke out in a rash. Went to the doctor, and he said it was inflammatory breast cancer. It had spread, and there was nothing that they could do to stop it at that point. He said, I wouldn't even recommend chemotherapy right now because, you know, there's nothing we can do. You can try radiation, but honestly, you probably have 2 to 3 years at the most. And I told him, no, it's not inflammatory breast cancer, and it's going to go away. And again, he kind of rolled his eyes at me and walked off. So I signed up for radiation therapy. Maybe I should back up a little bit. One of the verses that really stuck with me through all that, that I felt like God had laid upon my heart, was Psalms 103, 1 through 5. And I used to have it completely memorized, but I'll have to, you guys don't mind me digging through my notes to read it to you real quick. I know it's in there somewhere. There it is. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my sins, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and mercy, who satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I began to pray that verse out loud every night, every night, every night. And prior to going through radiation, we had gone to a Hanukkah party at Beit Shalom, the Messianic Synagogue in Thomasville. As we walked in the door, they had what they called a tree of life. And they asked everybody to write down on a leaf a verse that they could hang on the tree of life. And then towards the end, they would pass the leaves out for inspiration to everybody. But I had 5 verses, not 1. But I figured that was okay. So I wrote down all 5 of my verses and put it on the pile. At the end of the night, they came to pass the leaves out and just took the one that was on top. And the verse that Mike got was Psalms 103, 1 through 5. But it wasn't the one I had written. Somebody else had decided to write 5 verses as well.
Wow.
So to me, it was like God's word doesn't ever come back unfulfilled.
Amen.
What I put out, it came right back, so I
Amen.
Clung to that. So as I went through radiation treatment, every day while I was laying on the table, those are the verses that I spoke. And it was 33 treatments, and every day my arms, I can't spread this one out so much right now, my arms were spread out to the side above my head. It reminded me of everything that Yeshua did for us.
Mm.
33 times I got that reminder. So it constantly built in the pain and the suffering that he went through for us. So it made me have a better appreciation for him. I believe it was the 8th treatment into radiation that all the recurrence went completely away.
Mm.
Oh, I forgot the tamoxifen story. That's why I'm not a speaker. Are you back at the tamoxifen story?
Yes.
I broke out with the rash all over. They said, you know, it's inflammatory breast cancer. I told them it's not. I quit taking it. I went back to see the doctor the next day. The rash was all gone. And they were blown away. The oncologist and the radiologist were actually out arguing in the hall. I'll let Mike tell you about that part because he went out.
The oncologist had said that he didn't know what to think of what was going on. He had never seen anything like this happen before. But I knew where it came from.
Amen.
And then he called the radiologist over. And he brought the radiologist in and showed it to him. He said, I don't understand. I don't understand why it's gone. It's not supposed to be. I've never seen this before. So they decided to go outside in the hallway and confer with each other. Nosy me, I decided to pretend I was going to the restroom. So I got up into the hallway. I can hear them in a little office talking. So nosy me, I stopped and listened. And they were saying, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say. I've never seen this in my whole career.
Mm.
Both of them. You go in there and talk to her. I don't know what to tell her. No, you go in there and talk to her. I don't know what to tell her. You're the oncologist. You call me over here. I'm going back over there. You go talk to her. But neither neither one of them knew how or why this had disappeared. But Amy and I both know why. But God.
But God.
But God. Because through this whole thing, we have clung to Him and His Word. And the words that the Rabbi Josh had spoken over Amy up at Beit Shalom. He knew nothing about what was going on. We were up at Beit Shalom during a service.
Shavuot.
Shavuot.
A week after
her surgery. And he asked for whoever needed prayer. And Amy's mom was down visiting from Kansas. And she went up with her. And Rabbi Josh came up and anointed her and said, "You will be a living testimony. And you are healed."
Mm.
And those words from God through Rabbi Josh were the words that we clung to all this time, through night after night of crying and wandering, when the enemy would attack and make us depressed and give up hope or try to. We would hear those words that were spoken through the Holy Spirit by Rabbi Josh. And we would cling to those. And God would give us hope. And God would lift us up. And we would be able to rise. And be able to stand here today. And say, God lives.
Amen.
God lives. God heals.
Yes.
God restores.
Yes.
He has not changed. He will never change.
Mm-hmm.
When you find yourself in the mud, discouraged, sick, depressed, remember who you are, who you belong to.
Mm-hmm.
And lift your hands and stand, and He will restore.
Amen.
I forgot to tell you guys, too, that when I had the recurrence that came back, that's when they said that I was stage 4. So I had moved to 3C to stage 4. I figured it wasn't that big of a jump, but that's what they considered to be terminal. Because it was now in the skin, and once it leaves from the primary location and goes to any other organ, the skin being considered an organ, you're considered stage 4. At that point, there's really no turning back the clock, at least not for man. So that doctor told me that was stage 4 that day. That was back in November. After all the radiation treatment, everything was gone. It had gone away. Dealt with a few more surgeries and issues following radiation. Been little complications. It's like my mom keeps telling me, "Yes, but you beat cancer. This is not a big deal." But I had developed an infection after my last surgery. So I was in the hospital for a few days. And my oncologist came in. And he said, "Well, you have no evidence of disease."
Wow.
And when I wrote it down in the journal that I kept all the time, it was on the same day the year before he said that I was stage 4 and there was nothing they could do. So maybe it wasn't all about me. Maybe it was about the doctor. Maybe it was about other people that needed hope. The biggest thing I've learned is not to say I have cancer or I had cancer, because it was not mine. It was passing through. It was going out.
Mm-hmm.
And because of Yeshua, it could never stay.
Amen.
And I think once we, as a people, learn the power that God truly has, there's going to be walls falling down all over everywhere. I know He has a plan for my life, and I don't know what it is. But I told Him when all this started, I said, "Hineni, here I am. Send me. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, whatever you want me to do, except for speaking in front of people, because I don't do that." But He's got a plan for all of us, and I believe He's called us all out for a time such as this.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of beautiful visions and dreams I wish I could share with you guys, too, through all of this. But the one that stands out the most in my mind, I would go out every night and pray at what we dubbed the Eastern Gate on our property. It was east of our house and bordering into our pasture. And every night during Hanukkah, I would go out there and pray. And there was one night that I was out there. Well, maybe I'll say that for a different time. But he is coming soon. Mm-hmm. That I do know he is coming soon. So what we're going through now is just temporary. It's just a blip on the radar of what's actually awaiting us. And when we're in the middle of it, it seems like there's no way out. Like we're trapped. Mm-hmm. And I used to tell God, you know, you say you never put more on me than what I can bear. But this is more than I can bear. And he said, yes, but you're not carrying it. Mm. And I'm carrying you.
Amen.
There's always hope. And my God can get rid of cancer. My God can get rid of depression. He can get rid of financial problems. And anything that stands in the way, our God is able. So it's not about me, it's about him. And I am a living testimony. And I will continue to live. And I will continue to be cancer free.
Amen. Michael, did you have anything you wanted to finish with?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't the only ones going through this. Our kids went through a lot, too. They've seen all the ugliness and all the pain. They had to endure watching their mom cry, me cry. Mm. But they encouraged us, too. They gave us hope. And we both couldn't lift each other up. And I wanted to publicly thank them and thank God for them, for everything that they've done for us. And also for those that are in this congregation and that are not here today. And if they could just hear my voice, I praise God for each and every one of you, for all the prayers that you've prayed. The times that God has put us in your mind and you've asked him to bless us and to keep us safe. Thank you so much. I could never repay such a wonderful gift of those prayers. And I give God the praise and the honor and the glory for those that are here and those that can't be here today for the prayers that they've prayed. And bless you all abundantly and overflowing is my prayer for you today. And I humbly thank you.
Amen.